I had actually hoped that someone else would be singing today, but as it stood, that didn't happen. So this morning I was scrambling a bit, going on my walk with the dog, and I just heard, "I feel the winds of God today." And this is an old Celtic hymn. It's a traditional melody. The words are written by Jessie Adams, and she was born in 1864. She was a member of the Society of Friends, or a Quaker. And she was a teacher, very, very much considered an inspired teacher with a lot of sort of futuristic thinking. But she doesn't really have a very big bio. A lot of the hymns written in these days, and especially in that area, were metaphors utilizing the ocean. In the sea, and that's what this is. I feel the winds of God to. Oh,
Thank you, Bonnie. That was beautiful, as always. Thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us. And now we come to our speaker, who will be Scott Nash.
Oh, good morning again. Thank you, Bonnie. That was beautiful. That took me a million miles away. I wanted to share something that I saw on Facebook recently. I think it was something that maybe Jennifer had shared. And it goes along with, like, our philosophy here. And it was a samurai who climbed this mountain to talk to this guru to ask him, what is the nature of heaven and hell? And the guru said, why would I tell you, you big lunk? And the samurai started getting angry, and he asked him again. And the guru said, I would never tell you. You're too dumb to understand. And the samurai got angrier and angrier, and this kept on going back and forth until finally the samurai drew his sword and he was going to cut off the guru's head. And the guru said, how you feel right now, that is hell. And the samurai was an intelligent person, and he understood right away, and he smiled. And the guru said, that is heaven. And it's just a beautiful thing, because that's exactly how we feel here. It's really a state of mind rather than a place. I studied Buddhism for a while, and one of the things that's repeated often is to have, and it's okay to have, a healthy skeptical mind. And to put into use their teachings and see if you come to the same conclusions that they do, in that it's something that you can believe in. They don't ask you to take anything for granted. So a questioning mind can be a very good thing, as long as it doesn't become that negative thinking mind that's controlled by the ego that keeps us questioning without good cause. And I ask that you have that same kind of mind here today as you listen to what I have to say and see if what I speak rings true to you and is a truth for you. One thing that I've come to realize over the last few years is we don't always have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. If there are certain aspects that resonate with you and other ones that don't, you don't have to throw it all away. Just keep the ones that do. That way you always will continue to grow in the way that's best for you. When I was trying to see what Spirit was going to have for the sermon for me today, for some reason it wanted me to talk about fear. And fear and worry keep us from becoming who we are all striving to become, because fear is the opposite of love. Fear has the ability to freeze us in our tracks and to prevent us from moving forward. And it can be used by unscrupulous people to control others, even in, some might say especially in, mediumship, these people exist. So it is always important to use discernment when evaluating a given situation. Now, I cannot recall ever being afraid by something that was said from this podium. And I don't ever expect to, because we don't have a dogma that's based in fear. We have beliefs that we will state, but it's up to everybody to decide for themselves what is their truth. I don't have this written down, but I will say, at one point about 6 months, maybe longer, there was a person who, when I first met, I thought they were spiritual. But they actually tried to pull me and separate me from this chapel. But I always had a mind that I was always watching. And they always would say fearful type of things in a way to get me to I don't know what, conspiracy theory stuff, all kinds of really fear-based things. And I realized quickly enough, within a couple weeks, that it just wasn't for me. I separated from that. And it's something that you just need to be very careful of. Because he would say things like, oh, people at the chapel are trying to control you, and things like that. And when I look back, I looked at, you know, I evaluate the people here, and then I look at each one individually, and I go, this person has never done anything negative to me. In 2 years' time, I go with this person over somebody that is just telling me this that I just met. In any event, I had a dream about 3 weeks ago, and I didn't really give it much thought. But I was here on a Wednesday night, and Mike Lesenby and Shirley Lesenby were here. And often when Mike comes, I'll get a chance to get aside with him and we can have a private conversation. And I just happened to, we were talking about dreams. I mentioned one dream that was important to me, and I mentioned this dream, which in this dream, I had an apartment and three people had come over. It was like two adults and a teenager. And in my apartment, there was this stairway that went down to a door. And we all went down this stairway to the door, and the teenager jumped through the door really quick, and I slammed the door so nobody else could go in. And I said, do not go in there. It's like a fun house that just torments you. But everything that happens in there, it feels real even though it's not. And you can't come back the way you just went in. You can't come back out. You have to go all the way through until you get to the end. Then you realize, only then you realize all that stuff was just an illusion to you. And Mike said, well, what do you think that means to you? And I hadn't really even thought about it. You know, I just thought it was a strange dream. But I had thought about it for a few days afterwards, and I realized it was a dream about manifesting as a human being. From spirit. Once you manifest, you can't go back the way you came. The world is just an illusion that it can torment you at times. And there's no way out until you reach the end. And then you realize, wow, the whole thing was just a big illusion. And I saw how fearful I was. But you know, there is an understanding that develops when we spend time in spiritualism, that frees us from fear. You know, the saying, there's nothing to fear except fear itself. I always thought, oh, that's kind of a big cliche thing. But a lot of these cliche things, I'm finding there's so much truth in them and so much wisdom in them. It's really remarkable. I'm a firm believer that every one of us made the decision to manifest here as a human on the earth plane at this time. And from our perspective right now, I see how it can be easy to say, I am not coming back again. And I am not going through this again. It's just too much to deal with at times. However, I think when we return to spirit, I have no doubt we will decide to come again. It's just like my dream. From the human perspective, there's no way I'm going through that door again. But from the spiritual perspective, I have to come back again and again and again for my own benefit and hopefully for the benefit of other people too. In Buddhism, there are a few different schools. And the one that I was drawn to was called Mahayana Buddhism. And there's a certain type of practitioner in this school called a bodhisattva. Now, a bodhisattva takes certain vows to abstain from certain actions and a vow never to break them. But the interesting part to me is that their main objective is to become enlightened for the benefit of others. But not only that, that when they become enlightened and they have the option to break the circle of rebirth, the cycle of rebirth, they vow to return in again and again until all of humanity is enlightened. To me, that is the definition of pure, altruistic, unconditional love. There's no fear in their minds of, oh, what if my next lifetime is difficult? They've already decided that the benefit to others will always trump their own worries and desires, even when they have made it. There are a lot of different things that we worry about and have fear over. If you can think it, there's probably a fear that can be related to it. However, one thing about spiritualism is when you expend time and energy to learn about it and integrate the lessons, a lot of the fears just go away on their own. I'll give you an example that I'm sure everybody can relate to, which is death. Every one of us has, one time or another, feared our own deaths. We don't know for sure what's going to happen. Are we going to hell? Is it blackness, purgatory? Did I live an honorable life? But as you spend time here, you start to learn that we're all spiritual beings in a human form. And when we pass, we return to the spiritual realm where we continue to learn and progress. There is no hell, there is no sin, only choices. Choices that affect if we have a pleasurable experience or a not so pleasant experience. And we learn from the results of those experiences either way. Now, if you're hearing this for the first time, you might say, well, I don't believe that. Or you may be hearing it for the 10th time. You may have meditated a bit about it, and you might say, I can see how that is possible. Or maybe it's the 100th time, and you're saying, yes, that definitely is how it is. I believe this is a truth of our existence because I have spent time contemplating it. I have had plenty of messages from the other side that I cannot deny. And because of the luminaries in this chapel and tradition that has shared with me over the years, I know these people are forthright and honest, so I give additional weight to what they say. However, I still try to use my own discernment and see if these things seem to ring true to me. In seeing life and death in this way, the fear of death has gotten less and less. This is because of the teachings of spiritualism, and it takes time for us to contemplate and integrate these things. We can't just decide one day, this is what I think, and then it goes away. It just doesn't work like that. It needs to become a part of ourselves, of how we feel and how we really are. And then it will start to go away on its own. And it only makes sense to me that this can have the same effect on all of you. About 15 years ago, a book came out, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I don't know if any of you have read that or heard of that, but I paid really close attention to what that book was saying. And basically what it's saying is women want somebody to listen to them. Men want to solve everybody's problems. So when a woman starts to tell you something or a situation that came up in their day, all she really wants is an ear to listen, nothing more. But the man only hears, I hear a problem, let me try to solve it. And it causes conflict because the man thinks, oh, she's always complaining about something that I always said, bringing up problems to me. I can relate to this situation in a lot of ways. Sometimes we see others in certain situations and we want to help them out so bad. But there's nothing that we can do. And we worry and fret over that situation. I know somebody right now who's going through some unpleasant life lessons. And in the past, I would have worried and worried and worried about it and tried to figure out how I can solve it for them. But we can't always do that. And it's not always our place to do that. Because everybody has lessons that they need to learn and that they've come here to learn. And it's not our place sometimes to take that away from them. I'm not saying that we shouldn't help others if we can. If it's in your heart and your ability and you feel like doing it, then it's probably good. But you don't need to take on that responsibility for yourself. I think every single one of us does that. And the one thing we can all provide is a listening ear always. the spiritual perspective that we manifest as human beings to experience life lessons really comes into play here. As you start to think more and more about the principles of spiritualism, life becomes easier and easier because our understanding grows and grows. You know, one of the principles that we repeat every week is we affirm the moral responsibility of the individual and that we make our own happiness or unhappiness as we obey or disobey nature's physical and spiritual laws. This affirmation is saying that we have an experience based on the choices we make, and these choices follow physical and spiritual laws. So if you decide to jump off of a roof and you break your leg, you are coming up against a physical law, most likely one that you would consider to have a negative connotation with it. If you're angry and hate-filled and have a negativity about you, then you are attracting those things to yourself. You are coming up against what would be a spiritual law. In the Bible it says, God is not a respecter of persons. And I always thought, well, why doesn't he respect us? But that's not what they're talking about. What is meant is that if you call a physical or spiritual law into effect by your actions, there will be a result that corresponds to that action. In other words, God will not treat actions differently depending on the person who performs them. He is not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of the law. Connie and I recently have been discussing the new age of enlightenment that Spirit had said was coming. And I'm talking about the age of Aquarius that we are now in the beginnings of. And she said that Spirit has told her ages like this have come about in the past, but mankind has always destroyed itself. And this is just yet another chance at an age of enlightenment on the earth. And the things that we do have a great impact on the outcome. We had been discussing also how it would be beneficial to try and live a simpler life, to get out into nature, to turn off the television sometimes and computers, and just live in a more simple, pleasant way, more like a religion of Native American or something along those lines, where you're just out in nature and just see the beauty and wonder of everything. We have more distractions today than we've probably had on the earth in a long, long time. And another affirmation that we say every week is, we believe that the highest morality is contained in the golden rule. Whatsoever ye would that others would do unto you, do ye also unto them. It doesn't get much simpler than that, does it? But sometimes it's difficult to be that way when we get into a certain mood. Sometimes emotions in life just take over. Even when we know it's taken over, we see that we're in an angry place or we're in a bad place. And we acknowledge it, it still doesn't go away sometimes. So we need to pick ourselves back up and try again the next day, and the next day, and the next day. These practices that we preach need to be practiced and be consistent with it. And when we do that, we put the best of ourselves forward for ourselves and for others. If it is true that we are on the threshold of a new age of enlightenment, and I believe that we are, and in my mind's eye, what I see is it's like there's a buildup of this positive energy, and I guess the best way to describe it is like a dam. And if enough builds up, that dam is going to burst. And that is going to pour over the earth, and it's going to change everything. It's like the straw that broke the camel's back. If we can get it to that point where that weight outweighs the negativity, the age of enlightenment will happen. I know I say this kind of a lot, but if you just spend 2 minutes a day sending out love and healing energy to the universe, it's 2 minutes more of love and healing going out into the universe than there would have been. It's really also beneficial to ourselves. The reality of our day-to-day lives is really all that matters. And if we can live our day-to-day lives in happiness and love with a feeling of gratefulness and goodwill, our lives become those things. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain. I hope there's something positive you can take away from today, and I wish all of you the best. Have a safe 4th of July weekend, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. That was wonderful.